Okay, we're in business again. All right. The beginning of the Mishnah, they said, you know, the Megillah could be read on the 11th, or the 12th, or the 13th, or the 14th, or the 15th. In other words, they're going in the order of what? The days of the month. Right. Then all of a sudden, they come in, and instead of talking about the days of the month, they talk about if it occurs, let's say, on a Thursday, this and this. If it occurs on a Friday, this and this. If it occurs on a Saturday, this and this is the one. If it occurs on Sunday. So that's the question. Why is it that all of a sudden they switch to the other thing, right? So Morris says, okay, Maishto Resha, why at the beginning of the Mishnah did Nokat Sidur the Yachid, did they go in the order of days in the month? Or Maishto Sefer, and why at the end of the Mishnah did Nokat Sidur the Yomik? That they went in the order of days of the week, right? So he says, I just miss Habchalei. He says, because things get a little bit complicated, literally things get turned around over here, so knock at the Surah the Yomi. Then in that particular case, this is why the Mishnah wound up by speaking about, okay, if it occurs on this and this day in the week, this and this day, it's easier to remember it in that particular fashion than it is to go, well, let's see, today is the 11th. If it's the 11th, then maybe people in the Kfarim, right, are reading it. Today is the 12th, maybe people in the Kfarim are still doing it. All right, today is the 13th, maybe people in the Kfarim are doing it. Today is the 14th, oh, yeah, everybody except in the Kufas Chaybah are reading on this thing. So that's a little complicated. Here, if we go by the days of the week, we can figure out who's going to read on this day, who's going to read on this day, etc., etc. Right. This is what the Gemara says. Okay. So, then the Gemara now continues. Okay? Remember it said, Holy Osper of Shabbos. Okay, certain days in the week, we don't have a problem. I mean, if, for example, let's say that the 14th of Adar is on a Thursday, that doesn't really present any problems. Why? Because first of all, the people in the villages they're in town, so they could read the same time that the people in the towns themselves are reading. Right. And at the same time, there's no difficulty for the people who are in Mukofas Chumah that you are reading the Megillah on Friday. Okay, so that's not a problem. But there are certain problem days, and this is where we're going to see one or two of the problem days. What is one of them? So he says. Okay. Yeah. Well, the Mishnah itself starts over here. The one that they're quoting that they're going to discuss is Chol Yosef Erev Shabbos. Let's say that the 14th of Adar is Erev Shabbos. What should be the procedure, in other words, if the 14th is on Friday? Well, we know, for example, from our previous discussion, that, for example, what happens to people in, Yerushalayim? They cannot, it would mean then that they would have to read the Megillah on Shabbos, and that we learned is a no-no, right? So, therefore, they want to discuss this angle of it. Okay, all right. So, Masni Simari, they say, tell me, the Mishnah is in accordance with whom? Well, let's take a look first again at what the Mishnah said. Only us bear Shabbos, okay? Of course, we'll see there is somewhat of a difference between them. Take a look at the Mishnah, okay? No. It started actually Yud Dalet on a Monday, right? So when you do this and this. Then after that, if it is on Tuesday or on Wednesday, what happens in that particular case? Then it says, okay, if it is on Thursday, then what happens over there and so on and so forth. Okay. Then finally, Chol Yos Erev Shabbos, what if the 14th of Adar is Erev Shabbos? So the Mishnah says, Kforim Agdinim Yomayim Nisom, that in that particular case, the villages will come in and they will observe, they will have the reading of the Megillah on Thursday. In other words, that would be the 13th, right? The day before, that would be the 13th of Adar. The Aroyos Gedolos, and the regular cities, regular towns, etc., etc., Umukofes Chayma, and also those cities which are surrounded by a wall, Korimbo Bayom, they read it on the very same day. In other words, they read it on the 14th. Right. In other words, if we go back, you know, to, let's say, Yerushalayim, when do they read it? If the 14th is Erev Shabbos, obviously they can't read it on Shabbos, the 15th, which they normally would observe. And so therefore, what do? So they read it also on Friday. No, they read it on Friday. This is what the Mishnah says. But, as we'll see, there are different traditions that are a little contradictory to this. So this is the reason why they want to try to establish whose opinion maybe are they following in the Mishnah. Okay? So here they go. All right. Matnisa Mani, who is the author of this particular part in the Mishnah? So they say, Rabbi Yossi. Maybe it follows an opinion that was stated by Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, or maybe it follows an opinion stated by Rabbi Yossi. So now they want to know, okay, so tell me, who, what, when, where? All right, my Rabbi, what opinion are we talking about that Rabbi expressed? So he says, Tanya, we learned, there happens to be a Baraisa. Okay, we learned that the Baraisa as follows. It says, Chol Yosbel Shabbos, what happens if the 14th of Adar is Erev Shabbos, is on Friday. So it says, Kforim Yoros Gedoyles Magim Yamak Nisa. He says that in that particular case, not only the villagers would read the day before, namely on the 13th, but also all the cities except those that are surrounded by a wall, they would read it also on Thursday. This is what he's saying, right? Right? Umukov and Chaima, whereas, you know, the cities which are to the wall, so say Korin Bavayom, then they would do it on the 14th. Okay. They would do it on the 15th, okay? They would do it on the 15th.
The
15th, but it wouldn't really work out. Okay. So they would do it Bo Bayom, in this case we have to say the Bo Bayom means on the 14th. We have to say that Bo Bayom, because usually when they say Bo Bayom, they don't mean it literally in the sense on the very same day, but they mean that they would read it on that particular day, which is singled out for most of the areas. Okay. So obviously, this already is a contradiction, because what did we say in the Mishnah? That they read it on the 14th, if it's Erev Shabbos, right? You know, the average cities. So why, according to this opinion, why should they read it on Thursday rather than reading it on Friday? Yeah, that's what the question
the wall
is.
Wall cities you're talking about.
No, I'm not talking about wall cities. I'm talking about, it says, the Baraisa that they quoted.
Oh, okay.
Okay? Let's look at it again. The Tanya, right? It says, we learned the following Baraisa. It says, if the 14th happens to be Erev Shabbos, mm-hmm. right? Then in that case, Forim by Yoris Gedolas, both the villages and also, you know, the large cities, in other words, you know, everywhere except in Yerushalayim or any walled city from the days of Yeshua, they have to read earlier on the day of assembly, which of course is on the Thursday, which would be the 13th and not the 14th, right? And on the other hand, you know, they would read it on the 14th, because we said they're not going to read it on the Shabbos. Rabbi Omer, so Rabbi is not happy with that, and says, Omer Ani, he says, I say, Lo yidochu ayoros b'mkomot. I say that the cities, you know, should not be literally pushed aside from their place. In other words, that in the ayoros, right, in the ayoros, do not change the date. They read it on the 14th and don't force them to read it on the 13th, on the day previous. Elo elo ve'elu korim bo bayom. Okay. But rather, whether it is Forim, Yoros, or in this particular case, even what? Even the Mukafis Chavra. They're all reading it all in the very same day, which is, of course, Erev Shabbos. Okay. My Talmud. So now they want to know, what is the reason the Tanna Kamma, the first authority that we recite, Dichsiv, he bases it upon the fact that in the Megillah it says that it's to be observed, that it's purpose to be observed b'chol shana v'shana, every single year, right? And now the question is, what is the drasha, right? In other words, what is the interpretation that he gives to b'chol shana v'shana? It says, ma kol shana v'shana, just as in every single year, ayoros kodmas b'kofin, we always find that the cities always precede those that are surrounded by a wall, always come a day before those that are surrounded by a wall. So Afkan, in this case too, we should follow the same principles, namely, Ayoros Kodmos in the coffin, then therefore, you know, every other place should read it also a day prior to the time that the Chaimah are going to read, right, of the wall cities, and therefore this is why he says that whoever, you know, is the mysterious author of this particular Baraisa they're quoting, this is why he reasons that the towns should all read when? On the 13th. They should all read on the 13th. Okay. So that way the 13th will be reserved for them, and the Mukaf and Simon will do it on the 14th. This is his reasoning. Okay? All right. The Amon. But maybe I should interpret the Chol Shana V'Shana in a different way. Ba Chol Shana V'Shana, just as in every single year, the towns that never, they always read it when? They always read on the 14th, even if it's Erev Shabbos. So So here too, they should not be pushed aside. So they say, here, maybe it's different because you simply cannot carry it out. Okay. Right, it's impossible, so that therefore they have to do, not to do it the day previous, but that they should not be pushed aside from the normal time that they read. Okay. The Rabbi, so now the question is, all right, as far as Rabbi is concerned, my time to Chol Shana V'Shana, how does he interpret this whole business about Shana V'Shana? He says, Ma Chol Shana V'Shana ein ayos din dochim im kaimon, af kan li doch ayos min kaimon. So he says exactly what the second interpretation was, namely, that just in every year, the cities, towns, etc., are never pushed aside from their proper time. In other words, they have to read it on the 14th. So here too, they should not be pushed aside. In other words, the Ayoros Gedolos, etc., should all read on the 14th, even if it is Erev Shabbos. The Amor. Maybe I'll argue the Chol Shana V'Shana that Ma Chol Shana V'Shana Yoris Kodmas in the coffin. That was the first interpretation that was given, namely that every year we always find that the towns always read a day prior to those in the coffin Chaima. So Afkan Name. So here too, why shouldn't we say Yoris Kodmas in the coffin? So we say Shani Hochad Dolayevshah. No, can't be. So, of course, we come to the final conclusion, namely, whether, you know, which way you take it, but at any rate, we see that Rebbe is ultimately in agreement with what? With the fact that on Erev Shabbos, the Ayoros Gedolos, and also the Mukaf and Mechaimah are reading it all the very same day.
Even the Wall City.
Right, the Wall City too, because they can't read on Shabbos. Okay, yeah. Okay. Now, we've cited before what was Rabbi's opinion. The question is now, what about Rabbi Yossi? Remember we said, does it follow Rabbi, or does it follow Rabbi Yossi's opinion? So now he's going to discuss Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Okay. Good evening. Good evening. Don't tell me we're running out of chairs. Chas v'shalom. Okay, I don't want to separate husband and wife, you know. Chas v'shalom. Okay. All right. My time of the Rabbi Yosef. All right. How about him? Torah says b'chol shana b'shana. All right, what do you do with b'chol shana b'shana? He says ma kol shana b'shana mekavin kaidin la yoreis, just as every single year, those towns which are surrounded by a wall for the days Yoshua ben Nun, right, they cannot precede the Ayoros, in other words, all the regular cities. So Afkan, so here too, Ein Mukafin Kaidun La Yoros. They cannot precede. Okay? They cannot precede. The Eimor, so maybe I would say, B'chol Shana B'shana, I should interpret as follows. Ma kol shana v'shana zmanu shal zeb lo zmanu zadeh. Just as it says b'chol shana v'shana means that the time of one is not the same as the other, right? So afkan zmanu shal zeh lo zmanu shal zeh, that they should have different times. Whereas what do we say according to the Mishnah? If it is the 14th of the Tzerev Shabbos, then what happens? Then you cannot apply the business that Mukaf and Choyma have to be read a day after. Because when do they have to read? They have to read, as we said, on the 14th. They have to read on the 14th. If the 14th was Erev Shabbos. Right. Then the Mukaf and Choyma cannot read on the 15th, as they normally would. Okay. Shana HaDolachem, you can't work out any other arrangement. Misova Rabbi. And Rabbi was of the opinion, Ayoros Loidachinan Liyamaknisa, that cities should not precede the day of marketplace. In other words, what kind of business is this? The Hotanya. Didn't we learn something else? What did we learn? We have a different, it's a Tosefta again. What does it say over there? It says, Chol Yos B'Shabbos, if, let's say the 14th of Adar is on Shabbos. Of course, we've already discussed that it cannot happen according to our calendar, but the Mukaf and Tzchoyma, this could happen. Okay. So, Chol Yos B'Shabbos. Let's say that the 14th of Adar is on Shabbos. Then what? Then Tforim Akdim Yom Akdim. So, this we already said before, that, you know, people in the villages are going to be reading when? The previous Thursday, right? Which in other words would be in this particular case, all right, would be the 12th, right, would be the 12th of Adar. Vayoros gedolos koyrim erev Shabbos, and the big towns, they read when? Erev Shabbos. They would be reading on the 13th, because we're saying that if it, the 14th occurs on Shabbos, right, then they would have to read it erev Shabbos. Umukaf is chayma, but on the other hand, the walled cities would read L'Mochar, they would read it on the 15th, and when would that be? The 15th, of course, would be on Sunday. It would be on Sunday, right? Yeah. Rabbi Omer, the Rabbi says, Omer Ani, I say, Ha'el v'nyetchu ayyoretz b'mekayma yidokh l'yamak nisa. So, okay, so if we're going to say that the cities have to read earlier, right? Because they cannot read on Shabbos. So we're presupposing that the 14th Adar occurs on Shabbos. Understand? This is the question. So, we said that they have to read earlier. No. Before, what we said is that they should read it on Friday, which is the 13th, right? But now he's arguing as follows. He says, if we're going to say that the, you know, the normal cities are pushed off of their regular day, then you don't have the Maknisa. Then in that particular case, let them read it already. Why on Friday? Let them read it on Thursday. You understand? The Maknisa. Okay, Hashta. So they say, what kind of business is this? Hosam. There before we said what? Zimanom Shabbos. Right. Time is on Shabbos. In other words, it should have been read on Shabbos, which is the 14th. The oil did nitchu, yidochu. Okay. In that particular case, if they have to be pushed aside, let them be pushed aside. But not the Thursday, they can be pushed aside only one day. Right? The hocha zmanum erev Shabbos. And here the time is erev Shabbos. So it says, Kaman azlo ho de omar rabbi chelmo. According to whom? Do we have who is the author or something, or according to whom do we work out that it follows the statement of Rabbi Chelpa. So Rav Huna said, Purim Shecholi Yosh B'Shabbos. He says that the Purim had happened to be on Shabbos. Then I call Nitchin Liyamak Nisa. That everybody should read when? Everybody should read it on Thursday. Everybody. You mean to tell me that everybody, villagers, townspeople, people in the Mukofes Chaimah, they all have to read? They can't work out. You can't say Hakol, everyone. Why? Because the Mukofin, right? The Ad Day Lamacha. They are going to read it when? On Sunday. So, if that's the case, so the Mukofin Chaimah are not pushed aside from their regular time if the 14th is on Shabbos. But anyone who has to be pushed aside, according to Rav Huna, so Yidochel Yemak Nisa, right? So in that particular case, they should be pushed aside to when? To Thursday, not to Friday. Kiman, it says, according to whom? It says, Karabi. So in that case, we say it should follow the opinion of Rabbi. The Kuleyalmo, Miho Megillah B'Shabbos Hakvin. Because in the final analysis, we all come to the conclusion, what? That on Shabbos, we cannot read the Megillah, the Mai Tama, and what is the reason behind it? So Amar Rabba, he's the one who is quoted over here. The Rabba said as follows: he says, "Hakol chayov mikriyas megillah." Everybody, he says, is obligated to hear the reading of the megillah. And in brackets, it also says mitiyas shayfa, and also it doesn't necessarily have to follow over here. But we have, of course, in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, where they include the kiyas shayfa and also the lulav. You know, that these three things cannot be done when? On Shabbos. They ain't hakol, we know that they have the obligation, but the ain't hakol, the key and the mikro megillah, not everybody is an expert in knowing how to read the megillah. So therefore, Rabbi says, gzeiro, therefore they prohibited the reading of the megillah on Shabbos, shema yitlena biyodeh, lest he take the Megillah in his hand, and he'll take it and bring it to somebody who is an expert in order to learn how to read the Megillah, and he'll be carrying the Megillah 4 cubits, you know, roughly 6 feet, 7 feet, something like that, in the public way. And of course, we know on Shabbos we don't do it. Of course, I mean, we can argue, you know, that it's an Erev and it shouldn't apply, but the truth of the matter is, inasmuch as we made a gezerah not to do it, therefore the gezerah is observed regardless of whether it ends. Right. There is an Erev or there's no Erev over there. So that we never read the Megillah itself on Shabbos. Okay. Yes. Yes. Yeah, there's no question about that, definitely. We had that previously where it says, you know, the Midrash, what do you do in Yerushalayim? Okay, what do you do in Yerushalayim when you have Purim, Erev Shabbos? Okay, so it means Yerushalayim is supposed to observe Purim on Shabbos, right? So they have, therefore, what they call Purim Mishulash. In other words, Purim and triplicate. What do I mean, Purim and triplicate? Well, the answer is, first of all, since they're not allowed to read it on Shabbos, so they have to read it on Friday, together with everybody else in Yerushalayim, with everybody else throughout the world, okay? That they have to read the Megillah on the 14th and not the 15th. But, okay, so the reading of the Megillah is there. However, what do they do on Shabbos? That's the question. So the answer is that on Shabbos, they do a little differently than what we do. We, on Shabbos Parsha Zohar, right, if you remember, that's always a week prior. Okay. Now, they're also going to observe Shabbos Parsha Zohar together with everybody else. They will. But, so what are they going to read as the maftir on Purim, you know, because they'll read the regular Sedra, right? And then they have to read a second Sefer Torah to the fact that it is Purim. The answer is then that they read Vayove Amalek, you know, what we read Purim morning, so they'll read it in Yerushalayim as like a maftir that day, okay? And then, of course, you know, they will be reciting the Haftorah, you know, for Shabbos Parshas Zohar that we said before, you know, because that's germane to it, right? Right. So Nishkafelov, okay. Yeah, Nishkafelov. At least as far as I know, that's what they do. But, yeah, right. And, but, you know, that still leaves other things that have to be observed on Purim. If you remember, we have the right, you have to have the Suda, right? And you have to give Matzah to the Yonim, okay? And the Yishlach Manos, exactly. You have all these different things. So what can you do on Shabbos over there? So the answer is, you're allowed to sit down and to study, you know, different things that have to do with Purim itself. You can study the Megillah, you can read it, and so on and so on. But don't take a Megillah in the street in order to read it publicly, okay? Yeah. Oh, the third, that's when you have the Purim Suda, and the, right,
Sunday,
and you can give, right, Matanus Yoinim, Monos, or things like that.
Actually, Monos, theoretically, you could have an Ishiyash Bachoma, you could.
You could have, of course, you could have it on the 13th, also the exchange, right. But the Suda, they they already observe the on Sunday. It is recommended that also make a little something special look of it Purim in the Shabbos meal that you're going to have, because Shabbos we have to have a Suda anyway. Okay, so we add a little something extra, something
so
like that, right.
Shabbos time,
right. Okay. Alright, they worked it out, believe me. Okay. But that is an answer to your question. It's certainly permitted to study the Megillah, no question. Yeah. Okay, so Rabbi said, I call him the Kriyas Megillah, right? Everybody is obligated to read the Megillah. The Yen I call the Kin, the Mikra Megillah, but not everybody is, and so therefore there's a good Zero, Shema Yitlena, the Yodah, we have made some book in the way, we have read our Rabbis, which is a Rabbi. And then he says, Behind the Tama, and the same reason applies. The shofar, right, for the shofar. The Hainatam and the Lulav, and the same reasoning applies as far as the Lulav is concerned. Okay. Now, Rav Yosef asks a different question. He says, look, he says, Mipnei she'enehem shenaniyim nesuyis b'mikra megillah. He says, you know, the Orem Elite, the poor people, oh boy, are they anxious to see Purim come, because they know that they're going to get gifts from people, right? And they associated with what? They associated with the reading of the Megillah itself. Tanya Nami Hochi, and we have likewise learned again, also another Baraisa, which says, Afal Pi She'omru, even though they said, Keforim Akdinmin, the Yom HaKnisov, right? That they are permitted to read, you know, the village is permitted to read it on the previous Thursday, right? Govim bo bayo, mechalkim bo bayo. Afal pisha amru. So it says, yeah. Well, all right. Excuse me. All right. Govim bo bayo, mechalkim bo bayo. Because the next part is, he's just repeating again what was said in order to argue, okay? In other words, what they are doing is, if you take a look at the Rashi, says, going by Bayom, Shemak, Dimim, Boy, the Christ, right? They read earlier, so, Goyim, Agaboyim, Aton, Sev, Yonu, Nechlun, Anim. He says, since that's the case, so they already collect gel, you know, from the right, in order to distribute to the poor people,
right.
Even though it is a day early as far as, you know, the rest of the world is concerned. Okay. So they say, Afal Bisha Abru. You said, even though they have said, Adrabah, on the contrary, he says, Mishum Yomru. No, we have to say, really, the reason is because our sages have said, right? Who? That this is the way it should be. Okay? Elon, Hoel, the Omru, Shek Forim, Makdim, Yomak Niso, but inasmuch as they said that the villages, you know, can read earlier, read on Thursday, so they should also collect geld and distribute the geld to the poor people, because the eyes of the poor people are, are carrying, they're lifted up to the reading. In other words, they're looking forward anxiously so that
to the reading. Why does he give this reason? The Yom HaPira are going to be at the Monday and Thursday affairs also,
Okay, but he wants to say, when are they going to gather this money and distribute? Because everybody else is doing it Erev Shabbos. Okay? Everybody else is doing it Erev Shabbos. So, what about maybe the people, the Kfarim, should not collect on Thursday, but they should wait till Friday, to collect geld and give it to the Aniyim. So he says, no, that wouldn't be right, because the poor people are anxiously awaiting the reading of the Megillah because they know that they're going to get geld at that particular time, okay? And since that's the case, we don't want to disappoint the poor people by saying, well, come back tomorrow in order to get a handle. That's the basic reason. All right, so this is what happens over there. Amol, however, and now we go on to Daf Hey Amid Aleph. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah. It begins with the word Simcha. Right. Okay, wait a moment while we are distributing the pages.
Collection and distribution.
For everybody, it's Erev Shabbos. It's only for the people, the villagers, reading the Megillah with getting their geld. They don't want to be disappointed by coming in to read the Megillah and then to be told you have to come back tomorrow. Right, then we'll give you. All right. So that's already, then we have mentioned what? That the people in the villages, right, they can fulfill the reading the Megillah on Thursday. And also that the Matonis Lev Yoinim, that particular mitzvah, in other words, giving gifts to the poor people, this also can be carried out on Thursday for the people who live in the villages. Avol, however, now this is where we start on the next page, Simcha, Eino Noheges El Bizmano. However, the joy of eating, in other words, eating and drinking and so on and celebrating, that even for the people in the villages has to be when? It has to be on the 14th and not on the 13th. Okay.
So they get their money and they celebrate the next day.
Right. Because as Rashi says, B'yud Dalet, you take a look at the top line over there, this morning says B'yud Dalet, that means on the 14th. B'tayv shehi choyva b'yom, because on that particular day, meaning the 14th, there is an obligation called Yochid B'Yochid, every, upon every individual person. So, Kohen Osa Afilu B'Yochid. Oh, okay. Now, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, because that's the next sentence. Okay, so we'll come to this. Okay. Omar Rav, this is where we have that. Mm-hmm. Says, Megillah Bizmano Kohen Osa Afilu B'Yochid. Shelo Bizmano Ba'asor. Alright. So, Rav said the following. He said that when we are reading the Megillah in its proper day, right? In other words, let's say, for most of us, it means the 14th of Adar. And in that particular case, the Megillah could be read either by an individual for himself, right? Or it could also be, with a minion, which is, of course, what we try to do, right? But Shalom Bizmano, if, on the other hand, you have to read the Megillah at a time other than the 14th of Adar, the time which is designated, then in that case, you should only read it when you have a minion, okay? This is what Rav says. Rav Ami Omar? Rav Ami, yeah. Telling you, I'm having trouble with my eyes. Ravasi said, Bein bezmano, bein shaloi bezmano, basar. He says it makes no difference, he says, whether you're reading it on its proper day or not on its proper day. You can only read it in the Megillah, what?
When
they have a minyan. Other Ruto, so it happened once upon a time that the choshle Rav, the Hoda Rav Asim, that Rav, who said that you could read it even, you know, as an individual, he wanted to be very careful to observe it according not to his own opinion, but according to Rav Asi's opinion, right? So, Gemara asks, in other words, what? He did not want to read the Megillah except with a minyan. Okay. Well, mi amar Rav Hochi, so now the Gemara asks, did Rav really say, you know, that he could read it? Yochid v'omar Rav Yehuda v'rei de Rav Shmuel v'ashela. Didn't, you know, Rav Yehuda say, who was the son of Rav Shmuel v'ashela, said, Mishmei the Rav, in the name of Rav, that Purim shechol v'yoyis b'shabbos, that if Purim should happen to occur on Shabbos, then Erev Shabbos, Zemanon, right? Then the time for reading, excuse me, the Megillah, now the proper time is what? It's Erev Shabbos, right? So the Gemara says, what do you mean Erev Shabbos, Zemanon? What do you mean? You mean to say that Erev Shabbos is the proper time? Well, Shabbos, the proper time would have been on Shabbos. Right? So it is. But rather, we have to say that this is really how to interpret this. Shalou bizmanom, right? If it is at a time other than its proper time, then kizmanom. Then it's the same as if it is read at the proper time. Ma zmanom afilu biyochid. So, even when Purim is celebrated on its proper day and an individual could read the Megillah for himself, right? So afshalom bizmanom afila biyochid, right? So we should say then even if the Megillah is read even, you know, not on its proper day, but still you know, an individual is permitted to read the Megillah for himself. So he says, look, the inyan nikra Megillah ba'asorah. Okay, we're not talking now really about the fact that we have to have the reading of Megillah with a minyan. It's fine. Elamai Erev Shabbos Zemano. But what are we going to say? Why is it, you know, that we say if it occurs on Shabbos, you have to read Erev Shabbos? La'afugim in the Rabbi. This is to disagree with Rabbi's opinion, the Omar who said, Hoyol the Nitra Yoris Bim Kermi Yidokhul Yomar Knesset. You know, they quoted it before on the previous page that according to one opinion, Rabbi said that if they're taking the cities and they cannot read it on their own day, namely on Shabbos, so they should be pushed aside to what? Not to Erev Shabbos, the way we finally pass it, but to Thursday, right? Yidokhul Yomar Knesset. It says Chokamash Malon. So therefore, we learn what the Erev Shabbos Manamu. This is why we learn that in the case of Ayoros, you know, the towns, the cities, and so on and so forth. If the 14th of Adar is Shabbos, then the proper time for them. This is the point he's making. The proper time, right, is you know, is Erev Shabbos. Okay. All right, we'll start the new Mishnah, and then I think I'll call it a night, because as I told you, my voice already is getting on the shaky side, okay? Mishnah wants to define, what do we mean, what is a metropolis, a big city, okay? Ezu, he, here, get a very famous Mishnah. What is a big city? Kol sheyesh ba'asor ba'plodah, all right? It's a city where you have 10 individuals who come into a shul, and you can find them in the shul. You need them for a minyan, they're there. You want to have a shir, they're there, and so on and so forth. And they don't have to work. This is what they do, and they spend their time over there. Come So that's a big city. But if you can't find a Sarabat London, then that's not a city. Arezak Far, it's like a village, right? So the Elo Amru Magdim Levi Achid. Okay, so now this gets back really to the first Mishnah.
Yes, yeah,
where they had it. Okay, it says the Eidel Omrim Agil Magachmi says, with these days, namely those that we mentioned, the first Mishnah, the possibility of the 11 or the 12 or the 13, right, and certainly the 14 and the 15.
No.
These were mentioned over there. Okay, so in these they said, okay, Magdimin, there's a possibility of reading it earlier than the 14th, right? But Veloma Achrin, right? But we're not allowed to go beyond this. However, now that we've established this principle, so now the question is, are there any occasions, you know, where, in addition to the fact that on Shabbos, if the 14th of Adar we said is on Shabbos, or for cities that are surrounded by a wall, if, you know, the 15th is on Shabbos, so what did we say? We said that they read earlier.
Okay. Right.
But now the question is, do we have other occasions where we read earlier, or do we have to postpone for a day later? So now he gives a list of certain events where we see that you postpone and rather than have it prior to Shabbos.
Wait, for which category? We're not talking about walled cities. We're not talking about the far away. What category would delay, instead of going to Erev Shabbat, would go to Yom Rishon? What category of city are we talking about?
No, we're not really talking about cities now.
Okay.
It's like, let's say, putting a period over there. You know, there's no punctuation over here.
All right.
But this now, we have to assume, I mean, at least the way I understand the Mishnah over here,
all
okay,
right,
that we first established a principle that in the case of Purim, right, depending upon what day in the week it is, there's a possibility that Purim is going to be celebrated, or at least the Megillah is going to be read on the day prior to Shabbos, okay? On the day prior to Shabbos. This is a possibility, okay? But is this a universal principle that whenever you have a conflict between Shabbos and something else, that you should therefore do it prior to Shabbos? This is the question. So now the Mishnah is going to give a series of...
Not all of
them. Huh?
Not all
of them.
But in...
No, okay.
You don't.
Well, this is what they're going to say right now.
Okay.
You see. This is now. So now they're going to establish a principle, right, that, however, in following cases that they're going to list, as for example, Zaman Atzei Kohanim. What do we mean by Zaman Atzei Kohanim? So the answer is that, you know, this is the time when they would bring wood for the Beis HaMikdash in order to burn on the altar.
Yeah.
Okay? So obviously, are you allowed to bring wood on Shabbos to the Beis HaMikdash?
No.
Even though the Beis HaMikdash was its own reshus, and there were certain activities that were permitted in the Beis HaMikdash which would not be permitted otherwise. I'm talking about, for example, the fact you have burnt offerings. Where are we allowed to burn anything outside of the Beis HaMikdash? Not allowed to, okay? So this was a special rule that applied only to the Beis HaMikdash, okay? But how about bringing wood? Should we permit people to bring wood for the altar on Shabbos? Because after all, they have to burn logs of wood on the fire, on the hearth, on the mizbeach, excuse me, right? In order to, you know, to consume the offerings, right? Okay? So we say, no. Those manatzei kahanim, right? In other words, that particular event is pushed off, right? It cannot be done on Shabbos. But Tisha B'Av, same thing, of course, not applies.
Not
Shabbos, Tisha B'Av. The day after Shabbat.
So it has to be after Shabbat. This is the point they're making.
Okay,
right.
This covers after.
Right. This now covers days, you know, when you have to, it has to be after.
Okay.
Right. Tisha B'Av. As I say, this applies to all the fast days as well, with the exception of Tadis Esther. Tadis Esther is a little different because, first of all, it's not mentioned anywhere in the Bible, Tadis Esther. I mean, it's mentioned in general, but, you know, it's not exactly a celebration of the day. upon which Esther fasted. She fasted in Nisan, you know. So that was quite some time before, because the miracle had to take place, you know, and then they had to send letters around, you know, in order to annul the decree that the Jews were supposed to be slaughtered, etc., etc. So, okay. So, Hannah's Esther is a fine. But, for example, Shiva also been Thomas. You have to do it the day after, that's all. In other words, if the 17th, right, if the 17th of Thomas is on Shabbos, then you observe the fast on Sunday, okay? So, not just Tisha B'Av. And the same thing would be true, for example, of Tzom Gedalia, the third day Shabbos, but in that case we have to observe it on the following day, okay? All right. So, all right. Chagiga. What do we mean by Chagiga? Well, whenever they came on the pilgrimage festivals, in other words, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, they came to the Beis HaMikdash, right? They had to bring offerings with them. And this is what we call a Chagiga. These are very, well, they had different types. You had an Oila, and you also had Shlomi, okay? The Oila, of course, had to be burnt on Mizbeach, okay. Shlomim, these were the festive meals that they would observe and so on and so forth, where you had the whole family or friends, etc., etc., all gathered together, and then they would have a festive meal to celebrate. So this is what we call the Chagiga, okay. Because Chagiga, as we say, is the word Chag, it means celebration, okay. So it's a festive meal, okay. So that, what happens if it's Shabbos? Are they allowed to bring the Korban Chagiga on Shabbos? The answer is no. That has to be then put off for the following day, okay? The Hakhel, you know that we have the Torah right towards the end of Sefer Devarim over there, so it mentions the fact that Mekeit Shem HaShanim, and so at the end of 7 years, then in that case, the Chag HaSukkot, in other words, of the 8th year, following, you know, the year of Shemitah, then on the 8th year, they would put up, we learned this in Sota, if you remember, about the king would get up on a bima and he would read the Sefer Devarim to the people and so on. And so men, women, children, they all came together for the Hakel, if you remember. A very beautiful passage that we learned in Gemara and Sota, that, you know, lots of times the women don't come. But here the women and the children are commanded to come. And if they ask the question, you know, okay, then we know. Why do the children have to come? All right, the answer is, of course, that you have to be mechanech them, you have to train them to know how to observe mitzvahs, right? And how about the women? The answer is, because it is their job to bring the kids to school and to take care of their families, and they should also participate in the joyousness of the celebration that's taking place. So that, again, in those cases, that ma'achrin v'lo magdin. Right? Then they would celebrate those days later and not earlier. Alright. Now, Afal pi sha'amru magdinin v'loy ma'achrin, the Mishnah says, even though we said, okay, that there are times when we can have the reading of Megillah take place prior to the proper day in which it should be, because of the fact of Shabbos, and particularly because of the case of the people in the villages, right? And you're not allowed to do it after the event. So Mutorim Behespi Vitanis. Nevertheless, we know on Purim normally you're not allowed to do what? You're not allowed to fast, you're not allowed to make hespeds, you know, and Levaya. But nevertheless, Mutorim Behespi Vitanis. If it's a day, let's say on Thursday that they celebrate, which is not, you know, it's not the 14th, it's not the 15th. So even though they read the Megillah that day, but nevertheless, should there be a Levaya, Rachman al-Islan on that day, then in that particular case, they are permitted to make a Hesped, right? And if, let's say, they have to fast on that day for whatever reason it may be, not just maybe because Hadrasesa, because that is a later business, But let's say, you know, there are times when we have a private tattoo, exactly. Yeah, Nader or Tatis Chalon or something, your side, correct, and so forth. No, if they read it prior to its proper time. If they read the Megillah.
The day prior to the
right. Yeah, let's say the people in the villages. They're reading it on Thursday of Erez, the 14th is actually for them, okay? So on the 13th, you're allowed to do these things, even though you're going to be reading the Megillah for them. Right. As we were taught, it's and also the gifts, he says, should be given, really, he says, on the proper time. But of course, as we said before, we said that the gifts have to be given to the people who read it, let's say, on Thursday prior, because they're expecting it. Okay. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda said, Ebosai, when do we say that, you know, these special rules apply if you read it earlier? He says, Mokem Shenechnosim B'Shem Lachamishi. That's where we find that they always gather together on Mondays and Thursdays. About Mokem Shenechnosim, Loi B'Shem Lachamishi. But places where they did not assemble either on Monday or on Thursday, then Enkor Noisalabino, then even for the people in the villages, they're not allowed to read the Megillah except in its proper time.
Yeah.
Okay. So with this, we shall conclude tonight's session. Yes, Hashem. Tonight is the 4th of July in the year 2001. Okay. And this evening will be Yud Dalet, the month of Tammuz. Of course, Shivasa Batamas is getting a little bit closer to us. And as we saw, part of the talk that Rabbi Tzaidi gave this afternoon between Mincha and Maariv is really germane. Of course, actually, it's based upon what we had when we studied Gemara and Tanis, where they speak about Shivasa Batamas and various events that took place. And then afterwards, we continue with what happened on Tisha B'Av, various tragedies that we are observing. Okay? Now, at the same time, since Shavuot Thomas is coming, so we already had in the Mishnah itself a reference to the fact that what? That in the case of fasts, those days, if the fast day should happen to be according to the calendar on Shabbos, then in that case, we have it later. Ma'achmin velo magdim. Then we have it afterwards. And this, of course, is unlike what we learned about the reading of the Megillah, where we said that there are times when we can read the Megillah earlier than the day which is set aside, either the 14th or the 15th of the month of Adar. So this is where we left off in the Mishnah, and now we continue on the Daf Hei Omen Aleph with the Gemara. The first thing that the Mishnah mentioned, it said, you know, what is a big city? And we said a big city is a big city in which we have Asura Baplad, right? If we have 10 people who don't have to go to work, but instead they've found in the shul, they can attend community affairs, etc., etc. So that's a big city. That's an Ir Gedolah. If you have less than that, then it says it has the same category as a Kefar. Well, needless to say, in any case, when are we going to read the Megillah? We're still going to read the Megillah on the 14th, and all the rules apply to it, except, as we saw, you know, that the problem is with Ir Mukefes Choma, a city which is surrounded by a wall. But discounting that, and discounting the villages, then everybody reads on the proper date, which is the 14th of Adar. Okay?
Are there any cities today where you accept Rosh Hashanah and where you have Rosh Hashanah?
I don't think so, but we'll go into the Gemara a little bit later. I don't know if we'll reach it today, but we'll see that there are some who hold that Tveria is a walled city from the time of Tveria. Yeah, they say that it's. Of course, the word Tveria doesn't exist in the book of Yehoshua. It doesn't exist. But how did they derive it? They derive it that there's a tradition that Tveria is to be identified with the city which is mentioned over there. Either Rakos, or some say it's something else, okay? Some say it's Hamas, and others say it's Rakos, and so on and so forth, okay? So we'll come, of course, to that. There is also another opinion that the city of Tsipori, what we call the modern name to this very day, they call it Sepphoris, you know, in English, right?
That it may also doesn't exist for a particular purpose.
No.
Yericho should also be counted.
Which?
Yericho.
Well, the walls fell. They fell in the days of Joshua.
So I guess Tsipori was a walled city?
Pardon me?
They say that Tsipori was a walled
city? There is an opinion. It's not accepted.
Anything, though,
no, it's not accepted. But yeah, they're trying to identify places that are mentioned.
The fact that
they are trying to identify cities mentioned in Joshua. This is the whole point. Right.
They did archaeological excavations.
Yes. Okay. All right. So then the Gemara says, okay, what do we mean by Aseret Batmanim? Tommy says, we've learned Aseret Batmanim Sheba Beis HaKnesses. It means that there are 10 people who are always available for a minyan in the Beis HaKnesses. Okay, Baruch Hashem. And with that, that's it. Then the Mishnah continues and said, in connection with days of Purim, when do we read the Megillah? So there is where the sages said that it is possible to read it earlier than the assigned date, but we do not read it after the dates that have been assigned. Now what do I mean after the dates that have been assigned? Again, in the Megillah, they specify only two dates, right? One is the 14th of Adar, and the other one is the 15th of Adar. So it means that we cannot read the Megillah any later than the 15th of Adar. That's the terminus ad quem, okay? It's the end of the line, okay? So that's Magdimon, yes, you can read it early according to what we said, but below Machrim. So the Gemara now answers the following question. It's my Tama. What is the reason that you not read it afterwards? So Omar Rabbi Abba, Abba Shmuel, so Rabbi Abba said the name of Shmuel, he said Omakro, because it's written in the Megillah, it says V'lo Yavor. In other words, that, you know, the Jews are told to observe the 14th of Adar and the 15th of Adar, right? But V'lo Yavor. V'lo Yavor means that you don't go beyond those things. Okay. All right, inasmuch as he gave this ruling, which is accepted by everybody, needless to say. So we have another statement of Rabbi Abba in the name of Shmuel. The Yomer Rabbi Abba of Shmuel, he says, Minayin she'ein monin yomim l'shonim. How do we know that when it comes to a year, you do not go on the basis of days in the year, but you go according to what? To the month of the year. Right, the shonim, 4 years. But you do not count days for years. Now Rashi explains, so therefore we'll turn to Rashi for a moment. He gives an example, okay? Okay. what's that? Right. Yeah. Oh yeah, we're down at the bottom over there. Okay, right. Yeah, well, not the very bottom. You see, he starts, you know, the long lines. The long lines, okay? Right, okay. All right, first of all, let's read the Rashi for the first one, for Aseret Batmanim. Talking over there about people who don't have to go to work, right? Not only that, but they are supported, in other words, their food literally is supported by the community itself. In other words, the community pays for these people in order to be batlonim, okay? So that they can always be found for prayer in the shul. The Omer Mar Maseches Brachos says, the rabbi said, you know, in Maseches Brachos, he says, Kevin Shabbat Kodesh Brachos Beis HaKnesses. When the Rebbeinu Shalom comes into a shul, the Yoni Moshe Shema Sora, and he doesn't find 10 people over there, so the rest of the quotation is, Rebbeinu Shalom says, Madua Bosi V'Einer, Why? They ain't owner. Why have I come? And there's nobody to answer, to answer a name, right? Madua Bosim ain't ish, right? Korosim ain't owner, right? This is the posik that they quote, okay? Madua Bosim ain't ish. Why have I come when there's a person who's missing and I can't have a minion of it? Ravena Shana Matsas to daven with a minion, okay? So we've got to make an attempt to daven with a minion and try to be as steady as possible as we possibly can to come to daven. Because we don't want to make the Ravena Shana angry with us. You know? We don't want to have him feel that so and so is a little too lazy to come to daven. Okay, not talking about circumstances where you can't make it. But if it is possible to make and you don't make a shul, then that already, that's a different story. You should make every attempt to come to a shul to daven with the minion. Okay. All right. Now he goes into the next one over there. All right. Minayan, Shein Mun, and Yom Nishanim. So, Rashi says as follows. He gives an example. He says, Kagon, Diyom HaKonim Yayin, Shani Toyim Nishanim. Man makes a neder. Konim is a lashon of neder. Okay. Says, I make a neder that I will not taste wine for a year. Okay? Then in that case, Mona Yud Beis Chodesh Miyom Liyom. He has to count 12 months from day to day. The ones mean from day to day. So he explains. He says, V'im Nodar B'yechad B'Nissan. Let us say that he made this neder on the first day of Nissan. Osor Ad Echad B'Nissan Habon. Then he is prohibited to drink wine until the first day of Nissan of the following year. Even though in reality, if we could count by days, we would see that the usual year is short about 11 days. Because the days of the sun, in other words, going according to the sun calendar, you know, there are more days, 365, you know, as compared to going to a calendar based on the moon. Open on him, or another possibility too. He says, "Shono osin chodoshim yechaserin." Sometimes, you know, normally we know that 1 month is 30, the next month would be 29. But doesn't follow. There are 2 months where it may be chodesh chosim, right? Could be either molay or chosim. Exactly. In other words, those 2 months are the months of Cheshvan and Kislev, where either of them could be 29 days, either of them could be 30 days. So how do we know what it is? So the answer is you have to look into the Luach and see what it is, because it's all based, if you look in the old-fashioned Siddurim, you see that they have a listing of years and they have abbreviations. And it's based upon the idea, does the year begin with a Shabbos? Does it begin with a Sunday? What it begins, and so on, so forth. And so all the years that are scheduled to begin with that, they fall into that category. Another year will fall into a different category, and so on. That's the way it goes. So, as a normal rule, we see that there's going to be 11 days shorter in the lunar year as compared to the solar year, but it might even be more. It might be 12, or it might possibly even be 13. In Nibiru, it's already a different problem. In Nibiru, then the question is, do you have to keep until the 1st of Nisan of the following year, which in case means that you're actually observing 13 months and not 12 months, you see. So we'll let that, don't make any nader, that's all I can tell you. You never know what you get into when you make a nader, okay? We read that the story of Yiftach, you know, he made a neder like a fool, and you see what happened, right?
The same thing in case of Kaddish.
Yeah, with Kaddish we have a rule.
You're right. On that, I know, but
we have a ruling. With Kaddish we say that the Yud Beis Chodesh that you observe, you know, in memory of a parent, that you don't go to entertainment and things like that, you know, for 12 months, in a leap year, you don't observe 13 months. 12 months is enough so that, you know, if you have two others, just observe 12 months and that's it. But the Yahrzeit is a very different story. The Yahrzeit, you have some complicated rules depending upon which other, for example, event takes place in, and so on. So these are factors. Right. Okay. Now, so we see then that what? She'ain mon in Yom Lushan. All right, the counting of the year, but we don't reckon according to the individual days, but according to how many months it is. And he says, the Rabbanon, the Kesrei, the rabbis who were in Caesarea, the Shem Rav Abba, in the name of Rav Abba, Amru, they said, B'nayin she'in mechashvin sho'os l'chodeshim. How do we know that when it comes to, let's say, a commitment for a month, that we don't simply count hours, that instead we have to have a whole month? Shenemar ad chodesh yomim. Because the Torah says, until a month of days. Yomim ato mechashev l'chodeshim. Full days account for months. The yato mechashev shows the chodeshim, but you do not count hours when it comes to the months. Now again, we have to take a look at Rashi for the simple reason that I'll have also a comment to make after that. But first of all, shavos lachodeshim in Rashi. See that? Okay. So it says kigon. For example, that's the very next statement that it says. So Omer zegiteich, man says to his wife, this is your decree of divorce im lo bosim ikanat chodesh zeh. If I do not return from today a month up to a month. Okay? Obviously, people would give what we call a get al tonight. In other words, a conditional get. Why? Let's say he was going on a dangerous trip and he didn't know whether he would be back. And so in order to protect his wife that she should not become an aguna, so therefore he gave her a get al tonight. So he'd say, here is your get if I had not returned within this month. And the month was only 29 days. And when did he come back? He came back when it was already dark on the 29th. In other words, it was already the beginning of the 30th, but you know, he got back late on the 29th. So Ein Omrin, we do not say Adainu B'Soch HaChodesh, that he is still within the month that he specified that he would be back. Sheharei Chodesha Shalavada Choftes Yom Emetzo. Because a new moon, and a month obviously based upon this, is 29 and a half days. And so therefore, in that particular case, we say tough luck, the woman has her divorce, and that's it.
There's a tshuva from the middle-aged physical saints,
yeah,
where a man came back across the river, but he couldn't cross the river because the river was swollen. His wife on the other side, they talked to each other,
but
he got to her late.
Yeah.
And
the Gemara and Gittin has a similar story.
Was about it.
Yeah.
It's a tshuva. Agus mentioned this.
I'm telling you that it's a Gemara and Gittin. Yeah. That, you know, here's a guy standing on this side of the river, and she's on the other side, or even, you know, people around, you know, with her, and there's no ferry, or whatever it is, he's unable, and he yells, here I am, but we say, don't pay any attention, that's too bad. That's all. As long as you're not there in person to deliver the get to her, then in that particular case, to deliver the get, but, you know, to retrieve the get, right.
Yes.
Cancel it out, right? So, she is divorced. Okay. Pardon me?
He can marry again.
He can marry again. That is possible, because we have a rule that basig rushosa, that a person can take his wife again in marriage under certain circumstances.
If he's not a kohen.
Right. If he is a kohen, he can't do it, because she, being a divorced woman, he's not allowed to marry her. Okay? If, on the other hand, she also went and she married somebody else, and then he wants her back, the Torah also prohibits that. Okay?
Yeah. But, wait a minute. If the kohen is al tanai, she can't get married anyhow. Or can she?
A get becomes effective. If he doesn't show up, then in that particular case, the get becomes effective. All right. Now, of course, we have another ruling that says that a woman who is divorced cannot remarry prior to 3 months after she receives the get. Okay? Why is that? Because obviously we want to be sure that should she become pregnant in the meantime, we have an idea, you know who the father of the child is. So that's why it's
there are many cases, yeah, like said, yeah, during the during the Xeras of the Middle Ages. Many cases.
Why?
Where, as a case which is listed, that in the whole city the Jews were killed. Some of them converted just for show, including a young girl. She claimed she converted because she saw her chosen flee. So she wanted to save herself for the chosen. The chosen didn't know about it, and by the time they found each other, he had to be remarried. So he couldn't marry her again.
This happened with her conversion, I don't understand.
She converted to save herself for her chosen. She didn't let her be killed. She hoped to follow her chosen who fled. That's the only way she kept alive, because she was converted. The conversion is not the ikkar in between, just the fact that he didn't know that she was alive, so he remarried, and when she came, he couldn't marry her again.
Okay.
There's a case of a fellow who was a prisoner in Russia.
Yeah.
How could he marry her anyhow? She became a Christian.
Yeah, well, she could have renounced
him. That's
already under different circumstances.
This was allowed.
That's right.
And the case
she would
of
have to renounce her conversion. Yeah, yeah.
In the case of a fellow who was in the World War I, was kept a prisoner in Russia. They sent him to Siberia. Somebody saw it and said, the man is dead.
Huh.
15 years later, he walked into the house. Nobody expected him to come back.
Yeah, it happens. There have been cases like we call the Nina Garden case, you know. You never heard of it?
Enoch Arden.
E-N-O-C-H-A-R-D-E-N. It's a story that was written back in about the 19th century. So, about a guy who came back after, he had disappeared for years, and then he came back and discovered that his wife was married again, and she had children and so on, so he disappeared. He didn't want to kill her marriage and so on. But in reality, according to Jewish law, he is still married to her, unless, you know, we could... In other words, a person who disappears is presumed to be alive until the evidence can be brought that this person died.
That's right.
Is there any, time period of 7 years?
No, that doesn't apply. Hopefully it doesn't happen too often, but you know, in time of war and things like things could happen, right?
Yeah, maybe they find
war, persecution.
Blood on it or something.
Right, yeah. Okay, getting back to our Gemara, which again is analyzing our Mishnah. It says, Aval Zman Atzei Kohanim, Tishabara, Vechagiga, Vechakil, Machil, Machil. In the case of all these events, we say that you put it off until the following day, in other words, until Sunday, and you do not have it earlier than Shabbos, if these days occur on Shabbos. Okay? Looking back again at the Rashi of the Mishnah, going back to the Rashi of the Mishnah, where they explain. Alright? It says, Havol Zman Atzei Ka'anim B'Ha'am. You see it? Okay, first of all, the word for Ha'am doesn't really belong over there. Havol Zman Atzei Ka'anim. Time when the Kohanim bring the wood for the altar. It says, Homer Masechus Tanis. This we learned in Tanis towards the end, Daf Kofches, Shehoyu Mishpacho Shal Yisrael, that there were certain families in the people of Israel, Shekavu Alehem Yomim Bechol Shona. They had a certain specified day, Lohavi Eitzim LaMikdash, in order to bring wood to the base of Mikdash, Tzorchem Avrocha. For the use of putting the wood, these logs of wood on the altar to be burned. Okay, Mavian Korban Eitz in Imoyim. So, and of course they would bring literally what they called a Korban Eitzim, in other words, a sacrifice which consists of giving wood to the Beis HaMikdash together with wood, they would bring it together with them when they came on these specified days. All right. Now, Im Chol Yos B'Shabbos, Now, let's say that the date that was set aside, let's say that the first day of Elul, okay, was the day that a certain family was expected to bring the wood offering to the Beis HaMikdash. Then in that particular case, if it occurred on Shabbos, and in that case they put it off to the following day, in other words, for Sunday. And likewise Tisha B'Av Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, if it happens to be the ninth day of Av happens to be on Shabbos, right? Behu Adin's the same ruling, the Yud Zayin B'Tamas for the 7th day of Tamas, or Asor B'Teves, right? The Hayda Noka Tisha B'Av. So now the question is only: so why do they mention specifically Tisha B'Av and they don't mention the other things, the other days? Okay, so it says Mishum Dehuplayt Soros, because there's so many more disasters that happened on Tisha B'Av. V'Hakol Misanin Bo, and everybody fasts on Tisha B'Av. Aval She'art Somos, but the other fast days that we're talking about are Minim Mitzaches Rosh Hashanah. This we learn Rosh Hashanah that Ratzu Misanin, Ratzu Emisan. Of course, if you go back again to the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah over there and check it, you'll see that they're talking about if there is Shalom in Eretz Yisrael. Then in that particular case, if people feel like fasting on Shavuos HaBetamos, let's say, then they fast. And if they don't feel it, what's the name is on it? If they don't feel like it, then in that case, they don't fast. But that's the time of Shalom. In a time when the Jews have Tzoras in Eretz Israel, then in that case, it's more proper to fast. Okay? So that's why they mention Tisha B'Av specifically, because everybody observes Tisha B'Av. Okay. All right. So that is the Manatze Kahanim, right? And also Tisha B'Av. Now, how about